Blog Talk Radio. Hello, 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 and good morning to everyone. I thank God for our Good Friday that the United States of America recognizes. I thank God for what they call Easter Sunday, but we know that it is the day that we celebrate, which we celebrate it every day, every minute, every hour, every millisecond of our life, the birth, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank God for what he's done with, sending us his Son and then sending us his Holy Spirit. I mean, we are so blessed. So happy Easter for those of you that are the bunny hoppers and celebrators. And for those of us that are Christians and that love the Lord and know that Jesus is the only way, he is the truth, he is the light, he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Happy Resurrection Sunday! Hallelujah! Okay, we're going to start off with prayer. From this is Let's Talk with Smile3E with our own Minister Sheila Kaiser and myself. I'm Cecilia, so stay blessed and let's listen to whatever the Lord has given Minister Sheila in order for her to pray. And then not only is she going to pray, she's going to share with us whatever the Lord has given us her for today. Okay, talk to you in a minute. Amen. I thank God as well for all of you, as Minister Sheila has already said. I thank God for the prayer that she shared with us and how she reminded us that, yes, we may be going through this or we may be going through that, but God is still in control. You know, I was thinking about, the other day when I found out about someone that I love dearly passed. And so, it was where I could look back over the things within the last 3 to 4 months of news of death, of people dying all around me. And so I realized, there's people that will die that may be in the same house that you're in. Like me and Apostle Sandra Thomas grew up in the same house. I mean, when her parents passed on, and even when they were here, my dad was always a dad to them, and my mom was always there for them. And so we were all, although we were cousins, we grew up as sisters. And I thought of all of the children that when they moved to America, how if they were, well, I'll say move within America, because that's really what happened. So if they moved from Mississippi or Cleveland or the South Side, West Side, wherever it was, how my mother raised so many people's children. And when they would, whether they were on my father's side or whether they were on my mother's side or even my father's children that he had prior to him and my mother being married, like my sister Manny and stuff like that. So I could just think of how many people grew up in our house as our brothers and sisters, and even our cousin Lewis. We don't call him cousin because he's not a cousin to us. He's a brother to us. He grew up in the same house that we grew up in. My father was his father. My mother was his mother. And so even today, people may say, oh, that's your cousin Lewis, but he doesn't recognize us that way, and we don't recognize him that way. And so a lot of people don't understand that, yes, the court system can make it where you raise someone and grow up with someone and they make them legally your heir, but there are some times where it's not going to happen, because I can think of even my niece, Tisha Wanda, where she grew up because of something that happened years ago. She actually was raised a lot of her years with my parents and with myself, but that's my niece. But yet I could also say that she's my daughter, but I don't, because of various reasons. So I could just go on and on. I mean, I could look at how Minister Sylvia helped with my parents when I was going away to the military all the time, going here and going there. So my son used to call me Mama. He used to call my sister Renee Mama, and he called my mother Mama. Why? Because during that time when I would be away, whether it was in a war zone or whether it was over in Korea where I couldn't take my son, my mother and my sister raised my son. So I had no problem with her saying that that's her son, even though that is her nephew. I have no problem with that. Why? Because I realize all of the time and all of the effort and dedication and commitment that my parents and her did towards my son, because even if I went to the field, they had to take care of him because I was a single parent. And so I'm saying all of that to say that sometimes when people pass, people don't understand that you're looking at someone and you're looking at them as your mother. And they're like, well, isn't that her auntie? Isn't that her cousin? No, that's her mother, because that's the type of relationship that they had. And so you may not understand that there's 1, 2, 3 mothers. There's 1, 2, 3, 4 fathers, but it depends on the role and the commitment that the person had in their lives. And there's people in the churches that were not even, you know, far as DNA-wise, family members, but they were grew up in the homes. They grew up with us, and so we recognize them as sisters, brothers, cousins, et cetera. And that's what I love about God. Jesus died for us, and some of us need to realize, they'll say, oh, well, that's disrespectful. Somebody said that Jesus is their brother. When I look at the word, it tells us that he can be a brother. When I look at the word, it tells us that he can be our Savior. It tells us, see, he's all of those roles in one. And so when we talk about Jesus being the resurrection, being the life, okay, but what's the relationship with him? What's the intimacy that a person may have with him? Do I love him as my brother? Do I love him as my Savior? Do I love him as my Messiah? Do I love him as my healer? Do I love him as my Redeemer? Do I love him as the one and only true and living God? See, I can love him all of those ways because he's all of that, and he's all of that to me. So someone may not understand when someone calls him God, Daddy God, because he's their daddy and, yes, their God. See, there's people that have daddy issues because they never had a relationship with their father, or their relationship was kind of off. It wasn't what it needed to be. And so now they're having a problem loving God and receiving love from God because they may not have received the love that God can give. See, God gives that agape love, that unconditional love. And see, when we think about our Father, our Savior, our intimate relationship with our brother, who was our Savior, who's sitting on the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. So he's our intercessor. He's our King of Kings. He's our Lord of Lords. Well, sometimes I might need the love of a brother, and God knows how to be that. Sometimes I might need the love of a father, and God knows how to do that. And so what we have to do is we have to learn how to have a relationship, an intimate relationship with God, so that we understand it doesn't matter if the people around me are celebrating the bunny, as long as they're celebrating Jesus, as long as they know that he is the resurrection and the life. Otherwise, we're saying there's no reason to celebrate your birthdays. Okay, why are we celebrating our birthday? Because in our custom in our nation, in our country where we're from, we celebrate birthdays. But there are some countries that don't celebrate birthdays, and that doesn't make them right or wrong. There are some people that I met that used to do my nails and things like that. I won't say where they're from. They don't celebrate their birthday. They don't even know how old they are. They just, well, there was no birth certificate, no anything. Well, I heard that I might be such and such. And so we sometimes get caught up in trying to say if someone has a relationship with God based on what they celebrate and what they don't celebrate. I'm not talking about the idolatry type festivals. Those, of course, are not of God. But I'm talking about sometimes we get so caught up in the things of this world that has nothing to do with life and death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is our Savior, the Word of God tells us that we're saved. And it doesn't tell us, as my sister Minister Sylvia was ministering on Friday night, it doesn't tell us we have to be boring or bored or sad. God tells us that we should have life and that more abundantly. He tells us that we can have joy unspeakable and peace that surpasses all understanding. And yet we can still serve God with our whole heart. No, we're not supposed to give in to lasciviousness. No, we're not supposed to give in to pride. No, we're not supposed to give in to the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh. But we are to give in to knowing that we're to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us, which is the foundational scripture of Smile 3E. But the key is the beginning of that verse says, to seek ye first the kingdom of God. The word of God tells us to seek him while he can be found. The word of God tells us that God will make us the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. This is what the word says. The word of God tells us that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against us thou shalt condemn. The word of God tells us to put on the whole armor of God because of the fiery darts and the various things that are going to come our way. The word of God reminds us that God is the source for us to go to when we're in the battle, we're going through this or that. And when we're going through it, we know that the revenge is his, not ours. See, a lot of times we're trying to get the revenge. We're trying to be all caught up in, I have the right to do this. No, that's pride. Sometimes you just got to be humble and come before God and say, God, I was angry. I was so angry that I wanted to take your place. I know that revenge is yours, Lord, but in this case, I was trying to be God. See, we have to come before God and be honest with him, so that he can deliver us, so that we can be set free, because we know that he orders our steps. But we also know that we're walking, living epistles read of men. And so when they read us, are they seeing someone that loves God? Are they seeing someone that walks in humility, that is humble and meek? Are they seeing someone that has the right, as far as America and their country or wherever they're from, or their custom says you have the right to be mad, you have the right to do this, you have the right, but are they humble enough to submit as unto the cross the same way Jesus did? Jesus had the power to call down legions of angels. He had the power to make everything that was supposed to happen that led to the his cross, being nailed to that cross, being whipped and beaten and stripped and mocked. He had the power to make all of that null and void. But because of the love that he has for us, because of the love that he has for mankind, humankind, it doesn't matter, boy, girl, mother, father, aunt, uncle, it doesn't matter. He has such a love for us that he died for us. He went through everything he went through being falsely accused. When many of us are accused of stuff that we're really guilty of, but he went through stuff that he was falsely accused of. Why? Because of love. How many of us are willing to take the blame for stuff that we didn't do just to cover someone else? Many leaders won't cover their people. Many people won't cover their leaders. Many husbands and wives won't cover one another. But we're supposed to cover one another. Jesus is our greatest example. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father right now making intercession for the very creation that said, crucify him, crucify him. But yet he's still making intercession for us. God is still giving us an opportunity to get it right over and over and over again. He's that potter, and we're that clay, and he's making us over and over again. God is not just a God of a second chance. He's a God of infinite chances. As long as we're here and we have the ability to breathe and to conceive what's going on, we have the ability to repent. We have the ability to come to ourselves from that reprobate place, from that place of the prodigal son or daughter. We have the opportunity to get it right before God, to come before him. God, I know you're the resurrection and the life, and because of you, I have another chance. It is awesome to have another chance. It is so very awesome to have another chance. I know you may say, well, you said this and that happened, and I didn't really hear that. Well, you know, that's what I love about Minister Sheila and Minister Sylvia. They talked about the technical difficulties that they had on Friday night, but yes, Minister Sylvia went ahead and did the things on Facebook Live, and Minister Sheila was working in the background trying to get everything done because I was on an airplane on my way here because I had to work that, you know, but I wanted to be at home because I love my family so much. I wanted to be here with them for the kids to do their little Easter egg hunts, for us to go over scriptures and different things with them, because, see, we're always going to make sure that every holiday we have, we're going to tie the word of God into it, meaning that if it's Christmas, if it's whatever day, if they're being blessed with something, they're going to know the source. The source of every blessing is our Lord and Savior, and we're going to make sure that they know that. We're going to make sure that they know that we're blessed in the city and blessed in the field because of God. We're going to make sure that they know that we're the head and not the tail because of God. We're going to make sure that they know that we walk in favor and are consumed with the favor of God, and that the favor of God goes before us and it remains there until we return. And then the favor of God is on our jobs. The favor of God is everywhere we go because of his love, not because we're so suchy-muchy, as they would say, but because of love. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And if you've gone through things, you may say, well, someone wrote on Facebook of one of our loved ones was murdered. So as I was telling you, there's many things that we've been dealing with. In less than 5 months, I've dealt with more than, in less than really 3.5 months, I've dealt with more than 5 deaths of people that I love. There was a man that I dated a very long time, and him and I were just starting, to get back in touch with each other and keep up with each other. And I have to honestly say I called him the love of my life. Why? Because he was a gentleman. He loved God, and he always respected me. He always honored me. He always treated me right. And when he died, there was a brokenheartedness that I can't explain to you. My heart was broken. And this was just a couple of weeks ago. But my heart was already broken because I lost my sister and leader in the churches of Philadelphia, Apostle Sandra Thomas. My heart was already broken because of Elder Kendall, someone, a sister, someone that I've grown up in ministry with, someone that's we've prayed together and we've done so many things in ministry together. It was still a broken heart. Losing her. I mean, it was just losing these people. No one can understand it, because someone may say, but you and Ray weren't married, so how could he have been your loved one? Okay, there's people shacking up, and him and I wasn't, but I'm just giving that as an example. There's people shacking up. There's people doing all types of things, and they're calling themselves married, and they're saying this or that when that person dies. Okay, there's best friends that I've had that's passed on, and guess what? My heart was still broken. There's when Apostle Sandra Thomas' husband, the late Pastor Fred Thomas, had died, and she preached a message that says, "When my heart is overwhelmed." See, the enemy of our soul will come after you and come after you hard. And then let's even get into Camino, my cousin who my mother raised, her as well, Tina. She was always coming over to our house to live because at that time, she was one of those young people that was out of control, and so her parents would send her to live with us because my mother had the ability to get her to behave more. And it was because she was hanging out with me and my sister, Sylvia, because she wanted to, be like us or whatever she wanted. But we were supposedly these bad kids from the west side of Chicago, but yet we were doing everything that we could to obey our parents the best that we knew how, and also to love God. Because as Minister Sylvia said, there was many times we were places where people were getting killed and shot all around us, but we had people praying for us and interceding for us. And guess what? Jesus was sitting on the right hand of the Father making intercession for these kids that was out doing what they wanted to do, how they wanted to do. And we grew up in church, so we knew better. We knew that Jesus was the resurrection and the life. We knew that. We knew that everything that we had was because we had a praying mother. We knew all of this stuff. And yet, when Elder Kendall passed, she passed on the very day that our mother passed. And so then that means that now April 6th has a different meaning to it. It's not only the day that our mother died, but it's the day that Elder Kendall died. And it just so happened they happened to be dealing with the same struggle, congestive heart failure and things of that sort. So a lot of times when your heart is overwhelmed, you don't realize you got to go to the rock. You got to go to that resurrection life, which is Jesus Christ. So people will look at you and say, but you haven't cried. You haven't went through this or that. There are stages of death. that they teach you, that's dealing with denial, that's dealing with acceptance and anger and things of that sort. But sometimes some of us will stay so busy until we don't have to deal with it. Sometimes we're staying busy because the people or the places that you work at don't have the ability to know how to help you. All they know is that this is due and that's due, but yet they forget that life is just like a vapor. It's here today and then it's gone on that very same day. I talked to my mother the day that she died for over an hour or so. We just had such an intimate conversation, and she was talking to me about life and just pouring her heart out to me, and it was like it was our last phone call that she knew she was going to die that day. And I mean, she shared so much with me and I shared so much with her, and then I went back to sleep, because when she called me it was like 1, 2, 3 in the morning. And so we talked and we talked, and then the next phone call I got, they were calling me telling me that my mother had transitioned. So like I said, people are here today and gone in the very next minute. Now, see, I know that I know that I know without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father making intercession for me. See, I wasn't here when he went to the cross. I wasn't here on earth when he was beaten and mocked and they tried to shame him. But you know what I know that I know, that I may not be at someone's service crying about the death of Jesus because I'm excited about his resurrection, because I'm excited about the fact that he's sitting on the right hand of the Father. Well, with my family members, I cannot say, and my loved one, the love of my life, that I'm not going to one day grieve. I cannot say that I'm not going to go through the various stages. I can say that I've been so busy trying to make sure that this or that is right at work, or this or that is right with the family, or this or that is right with just the things of cares of life, that I have not taken time to even allow God to heal me and minister to me, send his ministering angels to strengthen me so that I can go through the acceptance and all of the different steps and stages of these loved ones passing. But you know what? One thing I know that I know that I know, that when we celebrate Jesus' birth on Christmas and when we celebrate his death, burial, and resurrection and life, and the fact that he's interceding for us, and that he is an intercessor on the days that America celebrates it, I know that I celebrate it daily. And the reason that I know that I celebrate it daily is because there are so many times when your heart is overwhelmed that you know you have to go to the rock. Because, see, Jesus understands it. Our Father God, he understands it. I mean, the Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside of us already understands it, understands what we're going through, understands what we're dealing with. But we have to know that in order to have that relationship with God, we've got to confess with our mouth. Believe in our hearts that Jesus Christ is the one and only true and living God. He was virgin born. We've got to believe it. We got to believe that when he went to the cross and he said, it is finished, that it was finished. We have to remember that when God first created the heavens and the earth, that he said that it's good, and that sin came and tried to strip that very thing from us, that we were not only in a good place when Adam and Eve was here, but we were in paradise. And now we have to accept that when Jesus said it is finished, that now we have the ability to be in that paradise with God. That means we have the ability to have that joy unspeakable, that peace that surpasses all understanding. And when our bodies are wretched in pain, because the other day my body was hurting me so bad, I not only had to take a Flexeril, I just had to keep on just going on and on and on, because I had to work, I had to do this, I had to do that. Because like I said, sometimes as human beings, we don't know how to show compassion, we don't know how to show empathy because of a due date, because of something that's due. Sometimes, even the various races, we spend so much time in that crack, in that barrel with the crabs mentality that we're always pulling each other down. We're always stabbing each other in the back. We're always gossiping about one another. We're always speaking ill of one another. But God does not teach us that. He teaches us to help our brother. If our brother needs something, we lend him a helping hand. We lend them money. We lend them a place of have their shelter. We lend them a place to eat, something to eat. We have to learn to be there for people the way God is there for us. It's not that God is there for us because we deserve it, but it's because of that engrafted adoption, that inheritance that he's given us because of us confessing with our mouth and believing in our heart that Jesus Christ is the one and only Son, the only begotten of the Father. And because of him, we now are his sons and daughters. We are the heirs to God. We have the right to eternal life. You're going to have eternity somewhere, but where is it? Is it going to be eternally? You're going to be in damnation into the pit of hell with the enemy? Or have you decided that you're going to have eternity with God? And you're going to do things God's way. You're going to ask God for direction. You're going to ask God for what you need to do by letting him know, God, I know your ways are higher than my ways. I know your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. God, but show me the way. God, show me how to change my stinking thinking. Minister Sylvia was talking about on Friday night about God changing your appetite. Apostle Sandra Thomas used to teach us that all the time, that we have to have a want to. We have to want God to change our appetite. We have to want God to change our evil ways. And even if you're around people that are evil, that are even if they claim they're Christians, but the fruit thereof is different, we have to learn how to pray for one another. We have to learn how to, even when someone's done you wrong, you turn the other cheek. That's what the Bible says. When they ask for your shirt, you give them your coat. I mean, we just go the extra mile for people, just like God does for us and with us. So when was the last time someone that did you wrong, you did them right? When was the last time you knew that people were speaking ill of you and yet you still spoke life towards them? Not saying that you don't act like you're not seeing what's going on. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices, but we know that God tells us to love people. You know, the more you love people that do you wrong, the more that you do right by people, it's not just the fact that we're heaping hot coals on them, but we're being Christ-like. You know, the greatest example is Jesus Christ. You know, they said, crucify him, but yet when he died on the cross, he died for all of mankind, even the people that said, crucify him. That is awesome. That's the kind of love, oh, my goodness. I can't even describe it. For God to have sent his son who died for all of humankind, even the very people that said crucify him, if they had to change their mind and said that Jesus is the one and only true and living God, that he would have welcomed them. Wow, now that's love. I'm here to tell you on today that not only is Jesus the resurrection and the life, he's our example of life. He loves and loves again. Every time and everything you see dealing with God is dealing with love. It doesn't mean that we don't tell people the truth. Now, a lot of people think, oh, well, if you love me, you wouldn't tell me that this is a sin. That's a lie. That's not the truth. I would tell you because I do love you. But I have to tell you in love. I don't tell you in condemnation. I don't tell you in acting like I'm so self-righteous, but I tell you in love because the Bible says that if you love them and if you love him, there's going to be evidence of that. So because I love God, I have to make sure that when I am trying to show someone something, because sometimes you can't tell people. They have a saying, my sister Sylvia and a lot of people say it all the time, I can show you better than I can tell you. Well, a lot of times, that's what we need to do more of. We need to do more of showing people in what we live and what we say and how we go about doing things than telling them, because sometimes the enemy of our soul has already told people this or that, and they don't understand that when you're telling them something, you're not telling them something in condemnation, but you're telling them something in love. So sometimes what you say isn't what they're hearing, nor is it how you're saying it, because you could be saying it right. They could have been so bruised, so broken, so hurt, so they don't hear you. All they hear is blah, 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 blah. Or they hear the enemy in the back of their mind saying, oh, you know he or she think they better than you. You know, they'll hear the setting the accuser telling them one thing when what you're really doing is trying to tell them what the truth is, what God's word is saying. So when was the last time you said, God, I love you. I lay aside every burden, every sin that was so easily beset me. God, I give it all to you. I know that you're going to do just what you said. I know that because of Jesus' death, because of Jesus' ministry while he was here on earth, because of what he said and what he did. See, he truly did. I'm going to show you better than I can tell you. He not only let them know that he was the resurrection, he showed us that he was the resurrection and the life. We have to be willing, even if we think we're not able, to trust God, to trust the capabilities that we have in the name of Jesus. As sons and daughters of the Most High God, we are able to do things in the power of Jesus' name. We are able to do things as sons and daughters of the Most High God. So we can't get all haughty and prideful thinking that it's us, because it's really God through us. It's really God's Holy Spirit through us. It's really the Word of God that was made flesh through us. So when we give all honor to God and we lift up Jesus so that he can draw all men unto him, you know what we know? We know that God is getting all the glory for it. Yes, it is a challenge for some to do things that they're not used to doing, such as love someone who's done them wrong, someone who's broken their heart. I can tell you today that there's people who smile in my face and backstab me. There's people that act like they're for me when they're really not. There's people that are, they spend more time speaking negative of me than they do of good. There's people that they're just users. They'll do this, they'll do that. But there's also people that love me just because. My sisters love me just because, and I love them just because. My nieces and nephews, my cousins, I love them just because. There's people on my job. I love them just because. There's people in my class with me. I love them just because. There's people that I love because God said to love them. This man said, I can't remember what his name was, the first one that said it. He says, I'm going to love you and there's nothing you can do about it. But you know, that's based on the premise of I'm going to love you through God. When you love people through God, and because of God, I tell you what, there's not even nothing we could do about it, not unless we stop loving God and asking God to show us how to love one another. Where is your love on today? Who are you interceding for on today? Are you lifting up God? Are you worshiping him in spirit and truth? For the Father seeketh such to worship him, for they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Are you obeying God on purpose and with purpose? Are you letting God know, God, no matter what is done, nothing can separate me from your love? I'm on this phone today telling you that even in the midst of my heart being overwhelmed, in the midst of my heart being broken, I am still willing, able, through Jesus Christ, to love everyone he's telling me to love. Because, see, some people, I can't say that I even knew to love them. Because sometimes I thought just because I was there, they knew that I loved them. But sometimes you got to put action to it, just like Jesus did when he took those nails and he took that thorn crown. And he took that sword in his side, and he took all of that mocking and being beaten. He did it for love. Who do you love on today? Do you love God enough to love those that were deemed by others to be unlovable? And that unlovable person might even be you or I. But God said that we have to love one another. So I pray on today, not only do you know that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, that you would believe in him, give your whole heart to him, that you would serve God on today with every fiber of your total being. Because guess what? He loves us. He's interceding for us on today. So ask God, help you to love with his unconditional love, on purpose and with purpose. That's all I have. I'm going to turn the program over to Minister Sheila so that she can pray and make the announcements for the week and for the ministry. And know, if you don't know anything else, that not only does God love you, he loves you eternally. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for that, Apostle-elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser. I want to thank each and every one of you that's on today listening, however you can, thanking the Lord for his life that we might have one. I want to give honor to everyone and to ask you to know, don't forget, God gave his son so that we might have life. Do not ever think because you woke up this morning, it was because of that alarm clock, your son, your daughter, your husband, your wife, the neighbor's noise. Just remember, you are here because God said, let there be another day for you. I just wanted to thank you for listening and ask you to tune in. Excuse me, every Sunday morning for Let's Talk at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and on Monday nights for Iron Sharpening Iron with Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright and myself, Minister Sheila Kaiser and Minister Brandon Kaiser, at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and on Friday nights with Minister Sylvia Kaiser and myself, Minister Sheila Kaiser, with Let's Talk at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I thank you for listening, and as I say, thank you for joining us every Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for the Apostle-elect, Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, and myself. I appreciate for all you listening and to understand, God is the head, he's the end and the tail, he's the beginning and he's the end, and he's the reason of his son that we have life today. Have a safe, blessed Easter day. And remember, this day is to celebrate the resurrection of the Son, Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ, for he gave his life so that we might have. Have a blessed day, be safe, and bye.
Amen. So let's listen to a song by Pastor Troy Thomas, A Quiet Place. And remember, God is the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Love you. Bye-bye.
Why did it stop playing? I'll play it again.